All right. Genesis chapter 4 this evening. That's not Genesis chapter 4. That's Genesis 4. We're going to finish. Ooh, that's loud. I can hear myself. We're going to finish Genesis 4 this evening. We've looked at several things. We spent some time looking, of course, at Abel. We looked at Cain and the comparison between the two. And we're going to finish up this evening here in Genesis chapter 4. And I told Russell, I have never done this, but I'm going to try my best to use these tonight because I can't see for some reason. So we're going to try. I don't know what to do with them. I know you got to put them on here to use, but I don't think I can preach with them. But we're going to try really hard soon. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to try. At least I can see the words. It does help to do that. Y'all look all blurry out there. So we'll see how it goes. But all right, Genesis chapter 4, verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we love you, and we sure thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We ask you, Lord, once again, God, to help us. God, I pray, Lord, you'll clear my mind. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just help us to fall back. God, just give us the things, Lord, that you've pressed upon our hearts as we study together. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us not to say anything, do anything, God, to be displeasing, or God, it would draw us away from truth. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you don't speak, if you don't move, if you don't show, God, we'll never understand. And I pray this evening, God, that you'll help us. God, as we study the Word of God together, Lord, we'll give you the honor and the praise for all that you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Several things this evening we want to look at, and I don't know how, I don't think it'll take us a long period of time tonight to do this, but I want to start next week, Lord willing. Well, let me say this. Next week, I forgot to mention it, but next week's Thanksgiving week, so we move our services from Wednesday to Tuesday. So next week, we'll be here Tuesday night. It's our soup social. We'll have a good time there. Just we'll meet in here, have a service of testimony type stuff, just whatever the Lord leads there, and then we'll have fellowship. So do remember to bring a pot of soup or beans and dessert and drinks and that kind of thing. So that's next week. But the week after that, Lord willing, we're going to start, we'll look at probably, to me, one of my favorite, I believe. Again, there's so many places, but Enoch. We'll look at Enoch next week probably and study some things about Enoch there in chapter 5. But tonight we're just going to run through these verses, verse by verse a little bit, and see what we can see. There is much to see here this evening, and my daughter has helped me with a word this afternoon, so she might have to help me with this one word. I never can say this one word very well, but we'll get to it in a minute. Verse number 16, we know the story here in chapter 4. We know how Cain has killed his brother. We know that how God has come to Cain. We know how we looked at that thought of judgment there. We look at the thought of what was done there. And now we come to that place in verse number 16. And the very first thing that we see here, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And as I thought about what that says, as we look at what took place, That's not the reaction that God desired. Now, God told Cain that there was judgment. There's a penalty for sin, and that's for everybody. But Cain didn't do what God would anticipate. Well, I don't want to say anticipate. God knows all. I know that. But I'm saying it's not what God desired. And when that, to me, that is some of the saddest words I believe you'll ever find in the Bible is what says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain just didn't walk away from God. When Cain made that decision, and we're going to see the results of that decision in the rest of these verses, Cain did more than just turn around and walk away and left the presence of God. He lost every contact. He lost every ability. He didn't have any desire for God anymore. And we'll see that through his lineage. But Cain here, the Bible says, walked away from God. And again, it's not just Cain. What we see, you know, what we read here in the Bible is there's so much that we can see in man today. So many people I've seen over and over and over again. It amazes me how people do this. When people ought to, and if you go back and look at the middle part of chapter 4, God gave Cain a chance for repentance. God gave Cain a chance to say, I messed up, I'm sorry, forgive me. But Cain didn't do that. He didn't have that type of heart. Again, he said, God, your judgment's too hard. I can't handle this. And then we see the decision that Cain made. And the Bible says that Cain went out from the presence of God. And that began a society. And we're going to see that just a little bit later. But that began. We saw what Abel represented. Now we see Cain and what Cain's going to represent. We see that a society here of a civilization that didn't love God, that didn't trust the Lord. And people today, good people, will get mad at something, get mad at the preacher, get mad at something that didn't go their way at the church house, and they'll walk away from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I wonder tonight if we would be honest and say that could be my name. We're all able to do exactly what Cain did. I pray, as me and Brother Mark was talking earlier, we was talking about some preachers and different things, and I think he said Brother Whitehart made that mention. I've heard it, you know, said many times before. I think I've even said it, you know, we're talking about New Year's service or something, you know, look around. There'll be faces here now that just won't be here a year from now. And that's getting to be a very common thing around our land is people just, okay, I don't need God. And that's what Cain said here, really, when he did that. So Cain was leaving. He forsook, and he was getting as far away from God as he could. And not only did he get away from God, but he got away from his parents and the influence that Adam and Eve must have had on his life. Again, when a man gets to the place where he's so controlled by this world and his flesh, he don't want anything to do with God. He don't want to do with anybody that has anything to do with God. And that's exactly what we see here with Cain. So he left that place. When he left that place there where Adam and Eve and those people went, I don't know how many people were living at that time. Nobody knows. I believe that as the age of people lived during that time, hundreds and hundreds of years, they had childbirthing way up into their latter years of their lives. So I don't know how many people. I've read different things that people, you know, think this. Nobody knows. But, I mean, there was a lot of people, I'm sure, living at this time. It wasn't just Adam, Eve, and Cain, I don't think. I think there was a lot of people because Cain had a wife here. So, again, he leaves with that decision. He leaves that place of God. He leaves that place of family. He leaves that place of worship. That Adam and Eve had that place that they met with God, I believe. And he left the land where people were living a godly life. So Cain made a decision to leave. He chose deliberately. He chose to live a secular and ungodly life. So we see again Cain decided to leave. Cain was the first person who let sin have rule over his life. Cain has a lot of firsts if you really look at it. He's the first ungodly seed of Adam. He's the first human being who deliberately chose to turn away from God. He's the first seed who chose to live a secular life. He's the first ungodly seed to plant upon the earth. and he progressed in that, and we'll see that progression here in just a little while. So again, Cain decided to leave. The Bible says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And then notice what it says, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Now, this is the only place in our Bible you'll find that word Nod. Some, again, you read commentators, I don't know how they would know. The only thing I can say about this place is it's east of Eden. It's away from where Adam and Eve was. It's away from where God was working. And again, I don't know anything about, nobody knows exactly where. There's theories of people who think they know where it's at, but nobody knows exactly where it's at. And that word Nod there means this. It's the land of wanderings. It's the land of restlessness. It's the land of rootlessness. It's the land of quaking or trembling and shaking. And I thought, boy, what a picture of hell. When you look at what that definition of that word Nod, and you go back into other languages and where they get that definition from, but he went to a land of Nod. And I thought it was, I just sort of chuckled in myself, you know. That's what happens when you get away from God, you nod. It's true. I'm a practical kind of guy, you know. I know that's not what that word means, but you'd be amazed at people in the church house that aren't close to God. I'm not as close as I want to be. Can I say this? The Bible says again that Cain went out from the presence of God. God didn't move. And God will never move. You study through the Bible, every time you find anybody, I think about Abraham, how many times Abraham walked away from where God wanted him to be. Every time, you know where Abraham had to go? Right back where he left God. There's no shortcuts. You're going to have to come back to the place where you left God to get back in line to where God would work with you and help you and move in your life. And again, God didn't move. It was Cain that moved. So we see here that he went to the land of Nod. Again, it's a place east of Eden. Again, I believe with that definition, it sounds a lot like hell to me. And when you think about that definition, anybody this evening, and I'll go ahead and give it away. Don't lay out of church Sunday morning, but God has really impressed upon my heart a message Sunday morning on peace. And that peace that passeth all understanding. What that word peace really means. And the only way and the only place you'll find peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace in this world. And when Cain left that place of God, when Cain left that place in the presence of the Lord, he went to a place called Nod, a place of trembling, a place of quaking, a place of restlessness, a place, it says, of rootlessness, and again, of wandering. So anytime anybody this evening that's away from God, they have those same characteristics. They'll never be in a place. They'll never have that comfort. They'll never have that settledness. They'll never have that stability that I have or you have when we walk with the Lord. So he moves. He leaves that place of Eden and heads to a place called Nod. And then we notice what takes place here. And verse 17 is the age-old question. The Bible says, and Cain knew his wife. Anybody that's ever done any talking to anybody about the Bible, that's probably one of the questions you're going to be asked. Where'd Cain get his wife? Anybody ever heard that? It's really not a hard question. Question to answer. It had to be out of his own lineage, had to be out of the family. And I don't know it. Again, when you look at the age, and I don't remember, what did Adam live? Was it 930 years, something like that? 930, I think. In 930 years, and you start taking that number and multiplying that, it'll get pretty big in a hurry. He could have married a sister. He could have married a cousin. I don't know who he married. But I do know it all came out of that same thing. Well, preacher, how does that work? They tell us we can't do that. It's not healthy. It's not this. Well, in that period of time, the bloodline was still pretty pure. Sin had not caused all the mess that sin's caused today. So Cain, where'd his wife come from? Well, he didn't mail order. Basically a family member. So there's your age-old question there. So, again, the Bible says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Let me say this. This is not the Enoch of chapter 5. You'll be amazed, the people that want to try to jump over here and grab that Enoch and the Enoch of chapter 5 out of the lineage of Seth. They're not the same. Two different. Why are they named one the same? Well, I've met a lot of people named Anthony. It's not too uncommon for people. And I will say this, if I don't remember to say it when we get to that place. When you look at the names of Cain's children and look at the names of Seth's children, two of them are identical and some of them even sound very close to the same. And this is just my theory. I don't have a clue why Mama named anything. I know during Bible days, names had a lot to do with what God was doing in people's lives. They didn't like we do and just pull a name out of a hat. I believe when we see what we see about Cain, I believe Cain was trying to follow in his own way to resemble what God was doing. Even though he wasn't in the presence of God, he knew he wanted to have that same. And look at how religion does today. They deny God. They don't want our God. But they do so many things in the same way. So just something to think about as you look at that. But again, the Bible says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, what did Cain do? Cain left the presence of God. What did God tell Cain? He said, you're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be a wanderer. Look at the heart of Cain. Cain says, I'm going to show you, God. You don't want me over here? I'll go over here and build my own city, my own place, my own house. That's the heart of Cain. And the Bible says here, that Enoch, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And again, what's Cain doing? Cain, again, his heart is against God. God, you're not going to tell me I'm not going to be able to settle down. You're not going to be able to say I'm going to have to wander around this world. I'm going to put my roots down right here, and I'm going to build a city. And he gets a child, he gets a boy, and he names that city after that boy. What was he trying to do? He's building his name up. He's leaving his own name behind. I'll be here. This is my place. It's going to have our name to it. So I think that's the mindset of what Cain was doing there. And then the Bible goes on to say that and to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahu, and Mahu begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of the one was Adam, and the name of Ada, and the name of the other Zillah, and Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such as handle harp and organ. And Zillah also had also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naam. Now, what we have here is the lineage of Cain. Again, chapter 5, we'll get to see the lineage of Seth and what God does there. But here we have the generations of Cain. Cain's life. Cain is that disobedient. Cain is that one that sinned. Cain is that one that walked away from God. Here's a society that's being birthed into this world that's against what God wanted done, where God wanted them to do, and how God wanted them to be. But Cain has brought that out of that place of God, has established a city, and in that city, that life began to grow and to grow and to grow. And God gives us the lineage here of Cain. And let me say, I use this word, but it's just one of our common words today. I think it's funny. How many generations did God give us here of Cain? Seven. In seven turns of the generations of Cain, we go from Cain, the one that left the presence of God. He knew his wife and bore a son by the name of Enoch, which that word Enoch means to be settled, but he wasn't in a settled place, or a beginning. And that's what it was. It was the beginning of that lineage or that line of disobedience, that line of didn't want anything to do with God. But seven generations God gives us here of Cain, and we go from Cain down through Lamech. And look at Lamech. What did Cain do? Cain killed his brother. Look at Lamech. Seven generations later, look at Lamech. Lamech said to his wife, verse 23:8, "And Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man." In seven generations, we see that circle turn from what Cain did to where Lamech is. See the progression of sin? See the progression of where man has gotten to? So we see these generations of Cain. And when you look at these generations, let me say this. This is my word here. You ready? Neanderthal. I can never say that word, Neanderthal. My wife laughed at me heavily today. Carrie said, "Spell it." I was like, "I can't even say it. You want me to spell it?" Neanderthal. One of the things that I believe that's so interesting in this passage of Scripture that I believe a lot of times we don't get a hold of, when you go back, and let's look at it just a moment, when you look at the children here of Lamech, and Lamech took, verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. And notice there also, look at how far, and again, in seven generations, we have a man here that, first of all, we see him here in verse 19. It says, and Lamech took unto him, what? Two wives. That's not God's plan. Here we see that first, again, the first picture of a big one. We see a first person here that has two wives. And God never intended that. God, from the beginning, when God made Adam, he gave him one wife. And that one wife was forever. And that's exactly what God did here. But look where man has gone. This isn't God. This is man. That place of that city of Enoch that Cain built was everything of man and nothing of God. You'll never see anything point, as we look at these children here, of what's taking place here. None of it points to God. It all points to self. So again, Lamech took two wives. In verse 20 it says, and Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. Now, give me my big word one more time. Neanderthal. What is that? Well, that's what a lot of our children are being taught in public schools. They're being taught that man progressed from a ape and to an ape-like man, and over periods of thousands and millions of years, he has grown into what we are. And we've all seen those pictures of cavemen. There's cavemen in the Bible. David was in a cave. But we let Hollywood, we let our science books, you know, we see the caveman and how he ugly and facial hair all over and looked like some kind of gorilla and dragging his club or his wife by the hair. You know, we've seen all those crazy pictures. But see, that's what man wants you to think. But I want you to see what God shows us here. From the time, and I don't know the exact number of years, hundreds of years, but from the time that Cain left the presence of God, the first thing he does is what? He builds a city. I've never seen a cartoon with the caveman building a city. See where I'm going? Man was never at that place of being a creature. Man, God gave, and people think that we're getting better. You look, and I want you to see here, look at verse 20. Real quickly, I'll point them all out, and we'll go back. Jabal, he was a dweller in tents and have cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. What was he? He handled the harp and the organ. He knew how to make music. He knew how to make an instrument that would play. That word Jubal is where we get that word jubilee. There's, anybody here know anything about trumpets? I learned this today. A little bit about trumpets. There's a Jubal something trumpet. Where does that come from? From right there. I learned this. I thought this was very interesting. We'll get there to Noah after a while. It'll be a few weeks down the road. You know, we're so smart today. You know, people back in Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Seth, all the way into Noah. You know, they were a bunch of, what's my word? Neanderthal. We're so much smarter. Do you know that the ark, and I don't remember the dimensions right off the top of my head, but ships even today, when they build a ship, if you take the ratio, not the size, the actual 300 by 40 by whatever it was, 70 or 70 by 40, however it was, not the actual size, but the ratio between length, width, and height, that's the same ratio that engineers build ships today. But we're so much smarter today, aren't we? No. I believe it's the opposite. I believe that we're not getting smarter, we're getting dumber. So we see here again, back up, verse number 20. Again, here is a civilization, and that's where I want us to get to see. I want us to see that this, here is Cain leaving the presence of God. And let me say this. How many times I've seen families, and that's the reason it's so important, and I wish I could get a hold of people. If you're not paying attention right now. It amazes me, and I've got several people in my heart that they're this way right now. They leave the church. They get out of church. They don't ever get back into church. And they don't think it has any cause or effect. No, it affects their children and their grandchildren. And for generations to come, the decisions that you and I make has an effect. So he said it's so important that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our neighbors and our co-workers need to see us faithful to the things of God. But it's the opposite today. People don't see that in people today. All they see is the other side of that. And again, here is the birth. This is the beginning of where we see today. Cain left the presence of God. He established a city. Inside that city, in seven generations, we see what takes place. We have here, Lamech took two wives. Again, God never meant it to be that way. Verse number 20, and Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and such as have God. Here, and if you follow that name Jabal, even unto this day, he is known as the father of cattle herdmen. But what's all that about himself? Verse 20, and Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such had handle the harp and organ. Again, here is a man that God had given the mind that he was able to make a musical instrument and make music. Look at verse 22. And she also bare Tubal-Cain. And look at this. Again, these aren't cavemen. Here's a man that is living in tents, moving from place to place as he moves his cattle or his sheep from place to place. Here's a man that's able to make music or make instruments to play music. And then we find Tubal-Cain, an instructor, an artificer of brass and iron. Here's a man that, the first man that was able to take metals and melt them together and do something with it. Not in the 1600s. We're talking here in the lineage of Cain. And again, every one of these things is drawing them to themselves. Self-sufficiency. No place that we see here recognizing God of any of it. And then, I think this is interesting. Verse 22, you hardly ever see, and I didn't go take time to if you want to study it out, you can do it. We're given something in this lineage of Cain that you don't see in the lineage of most places of the Bible. We see here that Lamech had a son, verse 20, had a son, Jabal, and 20, had a son, Jubal. We have Tubal-Cain. But then it says, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now, why? God didn't have to do that. It's not there by accident. But God put in that lineage that were given of Cain that there was a daughter by the name of Naaman. Why? Well, if you go look at what that name means and represents, I believe it speaks highly of what was taking place in that day. That name basically has all to do with beauty of the flesh. She is known to be one of the most beautiful women of that day. See where man had gone from leaving the presence of God. In seven generations, Cain bore a child, or in the lineage of Cain came a child by the name of Lamech that had two wives. He had sons that were able to do things to help build that society, to grow that society, to be self-sufficient. Look at man today, how we are so self-sufficient, we think. We don't need God. That's what most people think. It's how most people feel. It's the reason they don't study their Bibles. It's the reason they don't come to church. But that word name that has all to do with beauty. And you look again at where man had progressed or degressed, I believe would be a better way to say it, from the place of Cain to a man here by the name of Lamech that had two wives and was all about the flesh. So we see that how that lineage grows. And then notice verse 23 this evening. And the Bible says there, and Lamech said unto his wives. Now I want you to look. I want you to think about what Lamech says here. Again, remembering what Cain did. When God went to Cain and said, Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. And God says, his blood's crying out. You've killed him. What have you done? All about religion again, all about the sacrifice there that he brought. Here's Lamech, and we know that, well, let's see if I can find it right quickly. Verse 11, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee. Her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out. This day, isn't it amazing how everybody blames God? But it wasn't God that drove him out. Cain chose, as we see here in Cain, verse 16, went out. Behold, that verse 14, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And notice again verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Now, Cain leaves. We see that city of Enoch being built. We see that society, that group of people, as it grows and it grows, and I don't know how big it was, but God gives again seven generations. We come down to Lamech. Here Lamech has did the same thing that Cain has done. Lamech has killed a young man. I don't know who that young man is. Don't know. God didn't say. But either way, Lamech has murdered somebody. But notice again the attitude of Lamech. We saw the attitude of Cain. But look at the mindset of Lamech. He, instead of, as Cain, I believe, argued with God, I believe Lamech was snapping his nose off at God. Notice what he says. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly, Lamech 70 and sevenfold. He said, if God said that, and it's amazing to me that Lamech knew that. Apparently they had discussed that down through the years of what took place back over there in the middle of chapter 4. It says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, I'm so much better. If God was going to do that for Cain, surely I'll have 70 and sevenfold. See how he has grown so far from the presence of God? And that's exactly where man becomes. That's where man is still today. So we see that lineage and how it grows. And I want you to think about this. Here's the lineage of Cain, and it continues to grow until where? It's not a trick question. Where did that lineage end? A flood. God, as we'll see here in verse 25, God brought in somebody else. Let's look at it real quickly, and we'll be done this evening. We'll spend a lot more time with Enoch next week and the lineage of Seth. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. And again, I don't know, and you can't read these verses and think this is a progression that, you know, and I don't know when Adam had this. Again, we know that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. I don't know where Seth falls into that line, and I don't know when that happened. I'm sure there's a period of time. I mean, Adam and Eve lost a child. I don't know how long that mourning was. I don't know how that affected them. But God gives us here in verse 25 that Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And notice here, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So what I want you to get a hold of tonight is from that place of Adam and Eve and what Cain has done, Cain's lineage went this way to a place called Nod, a place of unrest, a place of instability, a place just like I believe hell's described. And then we have that lineage that God puts in another. This lineage here, this group of people that don't want anything to do with God, they're going to come to a place one day, and Noah's going to be out there building an ark, and they're not going to listen then either. They're going to laugh just like they did. And I'm talking millions of people in between that period of time. But we know how God destroyed that line. And only the line of Seth continues on through history. Here, God tells us that he gave somebody else. And I think about after the ark, and we're going to get there slowly, but we'll get there. After the ark, we see another group of young men and a lineage that will be separated off, and we'll find another young man that lineage is set to a certain direction, to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob and all down through there, coming all the way to David, coming all the way to a stable in Bethlehem so Christ would be born. Another one's been given. See, Seth was given to draw that line all the way to a place of an ark. After Noah and his boys come off, there's going to be that other lineage that comes out heading to a cross. And from there till we are even today, and if God lets us have tomorrow, until the Lord comes back, there's going to be another destruction of that other lineage, of that man that don't want anything to do with God. But God's made a way through a line. And those lines run through this Bible. So we see again that God blessed Adam and Eve, and there was a son. It says Seth, for God says he is appointed to be another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And what a great revival. How men in that lineage had begun to grow and to begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And again, we'll follow that line as we run through these pages. As we head to the ark, that line just keeps running. And it'll run all the way to Calvary, that final lamb. So, to me, it's very interesting to see the progression. We see the place of what took place here with that line of Cain. And again, in seven generations, they go from where Cain was to where Lamech is. And again, I want you to understand, we had a sheep herder, we had a musician, we had a tinsmith, and on. I mean, again, just think about how man has, again, continually tried to make themselves sufficient away from God. And again, I believe as you follow those people, as you look at a lot of the things their names mean, I believe you could see a lot of how they wanted to be religious without God. And that's how man is today. They don't want to know God. There's only one way to God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way. He's the shepherd. Any man that climbs in any other way is a thief and a robber. That's exactly all the way back to Cain, a thief and a robber. So, amen. Let's stand together this evening.